So welcome to Tuesday night Bible study, prayer meeting. It's the last one for 2024. It's hard to believe, but we're at the end of 2024. Let's open in prayer before we get going. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time and opportunity to get together and open your word and study your word. We thank you that by grace, through faith, you've given us your Holy Spirit. But you've also told us there's more. We can be filled with the Spirit. So Father, tonight we pray that as we speak your word, that it becomes clearer to us what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Father, we commit this study, this meeting to you, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, so study tonight is titled Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. As believers, we have been enabled and empowered to walk in the Spirit because we have the Spirit in us. But having the Spirit in us doesn't mean it's going to be filled with the Spirit. There's a difference between the Spirit in us, the indwelling that happens once when we believe, and the filling of the Spirit that happens over and over when we're under the influence and control of the Spirit, because we have allowed Him to fill us. Free will is still a choice. To choose to walk in the Spirit and be filled. When I first heard this line, I've used it before here, I thought it was quite catchy, so here it goes. When we get saved, the Spirit becomes a resident in us. When we're filled, the Spirit becomes the president in us. The difference between resident and president is simply the letter P. As in power. By the power of the Spirit, we can let the Spirit become president. So the verses we're looking at for tonight are from Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. Paul basically describes in the first half of the passage how we walk spiritually, of course, and how not to walk or what not to do. To be filled with the Spirit. Then in the second half of the passage, he describes the three signs of being filled with the Spirit. So we'll go ahead and read the first half. From a New King James, verse 15 says, "See that then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then the second half, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So going back to verse 15, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So in verse 13, Paul is telling believers in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, and every believer since then, to walk circumspectly. In other words, to be careful how we live and conduct ourselves in this life. As believers, Christ has come into our life, and so has the Holy Spirit. God says He lives in us. That's a requirement to be Spirit-filled. Only believers can be Spirit-filled. And it is available to every believer. On a side note, someone can be spiritual and be spiritually filled, but that's something entirely different. It is not possible to be filled with something you don't have. Believers get to be filled with the Spirit because we have allowed the Spirit to fill us. We have a choice to make. As mentioned before, we have the freedom to choose to obey the Spirit so we can be Spirit-filled. Whether we let him have control and let him be president. Paul says to walk carefully, to not live like fools, but as wise people. But not wise people like according to the world's standards, not wise in philosophies and teachings of the world. Not wise from an intellectual context. In some ways, the foolish and the wise are reversed when it comes to God and the world. In 1 Corinthians 26, Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." So the wise people of the world are the fools, and God doesn't want us to be or live like them. Paul means wise, as in those who have godly wisdom, a reverence and obedience for God aligned with God's word. Believers have this wisdom by the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to understand his word and live righteously according to God's standards. And so going on to verse 16, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Paul says to redeem the time because time is a precious resource. Because if there's one thing we can't do is buy back time. Paul says, make the most of the time we have to buy it now, so to speak, because once it's passed, it's gone. In the Greek context, the word time here can also refer to opportunity. The difference in that sense is opportunity is recognizing and acting upon the unique opportunities God provides in our lives. And still comes back to how believers live out their time on this earth. Is it from a godly or earthly perspective? Of course, time in this life is filled with different seasons and the opportunities that come alongside of it. How we observe time depends on where we are on that time scale. We go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon writes in verse 1 and 2, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." In between the time we're born and we die, what happens during that time is very much dependent on where we are on that time scale. In the context of believers, we all come to faith in Christ at different points in life. Personally speaking, I actually came to faith quite late in my adult life. But from that point on, how we use our time, live out our lives, matters to God. Again, depending on where we are on that time scale and when we come to faith, we are going to wear many different hats in life. Are we living in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God? A time is a limited resource, and it matters because Paul says we live in evil days. Evil days because we live in a world that's ruled by the world system. If we're not careful, we can get caught up with the world and get distracted by it. To put evil days in context, we go back to prior to verse 15. Paul had just described how we ought to walk in the light, which is the opposite of darkness, because evil is darkness, spiritual darkness, in which we once were. So to back up a few verses, in verse 8, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So he says, Paul says, now walk as children of light in a world in darkness. And the Lord himself said in John 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And so verse 17, Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So Paul reaffirms again, not to be unwise. Do not be wise like the world, but be wise in godly wisdom. It is in only doing that that we understand what the will of the Lord is. This understanding is what helps us walk and be filled with the Spirit. Godly wisdom comes from a good knowledge of His Word, from reading His Word, hearing and teaching of His Word, to do what God wants, to do His will. If we do not read, hear, study, reflect, meditate, and pray on what God is telling us, it's very unlikely we'll know God's will. We cannot discern God's will if we don't pay attention to what He's trying to tell us. It's all about the relationship He wants to have with us so we can know His will. We don't get to know someone unless we spend time with them. Although His will, for me, speaks to me in a way that's unique for my life, fundamentally, though, it's the same. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I like the way the Berean Study Bible describes understand, and this is how it describes understand in a godly context. It implies an active, intentional effort to discern and internalize knowledge. In the biblical sense, understanding is not merely intellectual, but involves a heart and mind aligned with God's truth. This call to understanding is a call to engage deeply with God's Word and His Spirit to discern His will. And so now moving on to verse 18, Paul says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So we've already described some ways what it means to be Spirit-filled. But I got this description from gotquestions.org. I know it's been brought up a few times already. It is a very good website. And they have a much more comprehensive or complete description, and I'd like to put it up, what it means to be Spirit-filled or filled with the Spirit. This is what the description in gotquestions.org says. "We can be filled with the Holy Spirit daily by yielding our will to God in submission and obedience to His Word. There is no formula to follow other than to allow Him to fill us and control every part of our lives, our thoughts, emotions, bodies, and actions. Only as we submit to Him and are filled with the Holy Spirit can we experience a harmonious relationship with God and one another. And so, in other words, the filling of the Holy Spirit is the influence the Spirit has over the flesh when we submit to Him. The Spirit of God, who has made us into a new creation, lives in us. He has taken residence, but we have to make Him president so He can fill us. In Galatians, Paul gave us an example of bearing fruit of the Spirit, to be filled with love, joy, peace, and so on. To put these three qualities, just as an example, into the context of being Spirit-filled, if we look at love, the Lord says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Doesn't seem humanly possible, but being Spirit-filled makes that love possible. And when we look at joy, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's what Paul says. So the circumstances we find ourselves in make it unnatural to be joyful. But being Spirit-filled makes that joy possible. And finally, to look at the third example, at peace, the Lord says in John, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So faced with trials that seem too overwhelming to be at peace, but being Spirit-filled makes that peace possible. But when we're drunk with wine, which is dissipation, we cannot be filled with the Spirit. In fact, when we're drunk, we're filled with something that's beyond our control. We're now under the influence of the wine, which even impacts the way the flesh behaves. People say and do things they normally wouldn't do. Often can't remember what they did, and sometimes even regret their actions because they are consequential. Why they call it impairment. The judgment, or we should say lack of it, a person has under the influence of wine is opposite to the judgment a person has when they're filled with the Spirit. Of course, it's more than just wine. Any form of excess alcohol would have the same outcome. Interestingly, wine or any consumable alcohol is also referred to as spirits. Spirits that are completely opposite to God's Spirit. So dissipation is actually an interesting word. And if we look up its synonyms, it's just fill with negative or sinful behaviors, including drunkenness. So we'll just go quickly through these. I know we're not going to read them, but just to give you an idea what dissipation is. These are the synonyms. You can go through each one. They're not very good. So the point is, what is controlling us? The wine was just an example that Paul gave. We can be controlled by our sinful nature and be filled with sinful behaviors. So Paul says, do not, and you can fill in the blanks, but be filled with the Spirit. Be under His influence and control. Let Him guide and direct us. Be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is an ongoing process that goes on every day. In other words, we have to let the Spirit keep filling us. Just like after we eat, we don't just get filled once and never eat again. Because our thoughts, words, and actions are ongoing. It doesn't ever stop. So practically speaking, what is it we can do every day? Just a few things we can do. First, as followers of Christ, he is our perfect example, so we can follow his example. In John 13, verse 15, the Lord says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Many will recall this passage, and the context here is the Lord had just washed his disciples' feet. When washing people's feet was something typically done by the lowest person or servant in the household. But it was more than washing people's feet. He was setting an example of a servant and serving in the greatest humility. Mark chapter 10, the Lord says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Having a servant's attitude, humbling ourselves before God, knowing it's ultimately God we serve, is needed to be spirit-filled. Paul says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Second thing we can do, be in God's word. Use God's word to lead us and guide us. As we already pointed out earlier, knowing God's will by being in his word is how we get to know him, to be filled with him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly and having godly wisdom is needed to be spirit-filled. And then submit to the Spirit. Christ has freed us from sin. We now have a new master. It's not sin anymore. It's the Lord. But we still have freedom to choose to obey the Spirit, to submit to him, and leave our sinful nature behind. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Submitting to God, his Spirit, is needed to being spirit-filled. Those are just a few things we can do every day. So now we basically are getting to the second half of the passage, which is the evidence of being spirit-filled. So in verse 19 to 21, Paul describes some of the outcomes of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "We will show evidence or show evidences of being filled, such as," verse 19, he says, "speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." When we come together as the body of Christ to praise and worship that way, it's evidence of being spirit-filled. Just like when they got together 2,000 years ago to do that, when we come together Sunday morning, we speak in psalms, in God's word, and the hymns. And when we add singing and melody, we empower the words even more, because God loves to hear his creation sing, and so do his people. It raises the level of praise and worship to God. And to do it from the heart or in the heart, it means it's coming from deep inside of us, where love is. And all this is evidence of being spirit-filled. Then the second sign that Paul says is that's evidence of being spirit-filled is giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're spirit-filled, we're always grateful for the blessings we have, knowing God is our Father. We disregard what we don't have or that others have it better than we do. In his letters, Paul repeatedly gave thanks to God, including when he was chained and in prison. He always encouraged his readers to do the same, regardless of the circumstances. So to always have a thankful attitude when things are good and not good is evidence of being spirit-filled. And then the third sign of being spirit-filled, Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Here, understanding the context of this verse is key. Paul doesn't mean there's no order or authority that we are to submit to one another in all circumstances. He makes it very clear. In his letters, there's order and authority in the church, as he himself claimed his authority when writing to his readers, especially when correcting his readers. And slaves are to obey their masters in the sense that we submit to people who have order and authority over us. What Paul means is submitting to one another when it comes to everyday dealing with each other, equal as believers, to respect each other and humble ourselves in the fear of God. This shows our love for God and by extension, our love for fellow believers. And that's evidence of being spirit-filled. So that's the end of the passage for tonight. I do, as usual, have one more slide to wrap things up. Back to being filled with the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit today doesn't have to be as extraordinary as what happened to the apostles in the book of Acts when they started speaking in a foreign language they've never known. Or what happened to Stephen before he was stoned to death when he saw the heavens open and the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's no checklist to say this is how you get to be spirit-filled, but Paul does provide us an outline in the passage we just went over of how we can be filled with the Spirit. First and foremost, we are to avoid any form of dissipation. If we are to be under the influence and control of the Spirit, it must be avoided totally because the dissipation and the Spirit are completely mutually exclusive. Then Paul says, walk as children of light, because we live in a spiritually dark world and the days are evil. We ought to be the light shining in darkness. Then he says, walk in godly wisdom, not as fools like the world who consider themselves wise. Then he says, walk in time or redeem the time that's pleasing and honoring to God, because time and opportunity is linear. Once it's passed, we don't get to hit rewind and redo it. And finally, walk in the knowledge of his will. To know God's will, to understand his will, and to do his will, I believe sets us on a path to being spirit-filled. And that's the passage for tonight.